Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
That is clearly Fat Lip by Sum 41. Wait, I'm sorry. That's Eve 6. Wait. It's Blink 182.
I was like, wait, are you serious?
Some band name with numbers.
Tell me how this camera was.
Matchbox 20?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
iPhone 65.
Blue. How's it going, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? Oh, as I bump the mic, I'm Josh Lee Kwai. Look, we're back with another very special guest. We have Josh Kim.
Also known as Zell.
Hello.
Who you may recognize from Game Nights.
Yes. Yeah, you know, many episodes.
Yeah, it's a travesty, actually. We were just realizing that, Josh, you've been on 3 episodes of Game Nights and 0 episodes of the Command Zone podcast.
What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Craig's been on a couple, so has Kessler.
Yeah.
Cassius has even been on an episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
All right, guys. Wow. I see where I rank amongst my peers.
I mean, we got you in Game Nights a lot.
That's true. So. Never mind.
Yeah.
No, I retract my statement.
Thank you.
Josh is a really good... Well, Josh, you spend your time, your profession around games in general. So Josh is one of those people that just sort of understands how games tick. He's a very good deck builder. And so Josh has broken down today and built an Edgar Markov. Jeez.
You got to respect the father in that. You can't be mispronouncing his name like that.
Edgar Markov deck. That's this one. Is that this one? That's this one right
Look
here.
Look at that guy. That guy commands respect.
Dude,
one.
Everyone's just like, yes, sir, whatever you need.
That's Soren's dad or grandfather?
I think he's the number one. He's the first vampire in Innistrad, I believe.
Ooh. He's the patriarch of all the vampires on Innistrad?
Yeah, I believe Soren,
Mel Lee is Soren, rolling over in her grave.
Yeah.
Maybe Soren is his son.
How dare you disrespect my story?
I think Soren is his son. Yeah, he's the founder of the Markov bloodline, the very first vampire of Innistrad.
Wow.
Wow. And he's got sweet art. Look at the art on this thing. Well, Terry, bring up the art on this thing.
Soren is the grandson.
Yeah. I mean, his art. His art's so great.
He just looks like such a badass.
It's like Game of Thrones, but instead of swords as his throne, he has just other people.
It's the throne.
My servants are my throne.
Yes, my kin. So today we're going to be breaking down the Edgar Markov deck, the direction that you went with it. But before we get into it, this show is brought to you by CardKingdom.com/C17. That's the link you're going to want to use if you want to buy any of this awesome product.
Pre-order now.
Destroy your friends with some of the awesome cards in these decks.
And you may want the Edgar Markov deck. I hear it's pretty sweet.
Or any of the other ones.
Or any of them. I'm just saying.
We can't discriminate against dragons and wizards.
I can. I want the wizard one.
Wizards are pretty cool. But
wizards are pretty
though?
Cool.
Vampires are sweet. The dragon one's pretty sweet, too.
You know what?
No
Buy
one spoke up for the kitty cats,
them.
Though.
Yeah.
What's
oh,
up?
Yeah, cats, meowza. CardKingdom.com/C17. Do it right, meow.
Our other sponsor is Ultra Pro. Ultra Pro, we talk about every episode. They do the awesome Eclipse sleeves. They make the gravity dice. They have the heavy metal dice. They have that sweet Citadel backpack that we showed off.
They also make custom card sleeves for every set that comes out. So these are the ones for Commander 17.
Yep, those, yeah, so all of them, sort of the Eminence commanders, have their own sleeves, their own playmats, their own deck boxes. So if you want to be aesthetically pleasing and match all of your stuff up, that's a good way to go. Very big thanks to Ultra Pro for supporting the show. And the other way to support the show is directly on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/commandzone and contribute straight to us. It helps keep the lights on, helps game nights happen.
For as little as a dollar.
Yep. You can set monthly limits so that you know. I think people, they go on there and they think they have to donate for every single episode because it's sort of, you do not. You can just be like, I'm gonna donate $1 per month and that's the limit.
And so, that's the limit.
We appreciate that. In fact, we call out one lucky patron every single episode. This time the patron is Kenji Madden.
There's a lot of things going on with that name.
That's true. Kenji, you rock. Sounds like a nice Hoppa kid.
Huh?
After my heart.
I think of Kenji Akashir and Numa Atanami, mm-hmm. and then I think of Madden NFL.
Yeah.
So
what an it's odd actually combination. It's just Kenji Akashir playing football. Is what
That's his online persona that you don't know.
We needed like a badly photoshopped Kenji, you know.
Yeah, throwing a football as hard as he can. Actually, he does have the punt emoticon on his Twitch stream.
Perfect.
Maybe it is secretly Kenji Akashir donating to us.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, Kenji Madden.
You're a real
person.
Yeah, and you rock.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go right into it. Edgar Markov. Josh, you want to read off what this awesome dude does?
Yes. All right, so Edgar Markov, he's a legendary creature, Vampire Knight. His casting cost is 3 red, white, and black.
Mardu.
He's a 4/4, and his Eminence ability, whenever you cast another vampire spell, if Edgar Markov is in the command zone or on the battlefield, create a 1/1 black vampire creature token. And he has got more. First strike and haste.
Whew.
And... God, there's a lot of stuff on this guy. Edgar Markov attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on each vampire you control,
including himself.
Oh yeah,
that's when he attacks. So he's effectively a 5/5 with haste, right?
Yes.
Because
yeah.
he's basically always going to come in with haste and attack.
Yep.
We were trying to before we started the cast, we were asking the question: is there another commander that creates tokens and pumps all of your tokens? Like, I was trying to think like. You know, the classic ones, Tristani, Rhys, Gave.
They create tokens and they don't pump them.
Right.
You're usually playing like Cathar's Crusade and stuff in those
decks. Yeah.
Right. You always have to find another card that's going to pump all the tokens.
Yeah.
Or there's a lot of cards that or commanders that would pump all of your tokens, but they don't create them. So you need. This is all in one package.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, like you said, you know, there's not many cards that do both the go wide and go tall strategy so well at the same time. And, you know, in my mind, because I'm a Marith player, I was like, oh, Marith kind of does that, but you have to +1 each creature, you know, individually with this. But Edgar Markov comes in and he just pumps your whole army, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and needs no mana to do it other than attacking.
Yeah.
But he has got first strike, so you'll probably always find someone to hit with him.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you don't, I mean...
It might be worth it if you have enough vampires to just suicide him in.
Yeah.
You
know, if you've got 5 vampires, that's still 5 power that he added, you know.
For 6 mana or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Eminence that we found out in Game Nights is that it is really good. It's really good. The fact that it works when it's off the battlefield, you're just making tokens every single time you cast something. It's like you start the game with an enchantment.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. You start the game with an enchantment that no one can ever get rid of.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Conspiracy. You just have free value built in, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone knows Conspiracy cards are really powerful. Really? Turns out free value.
It's basically Alora, which for a long time was the most popular commander deck.
Yeah.
Alora,
Yeah. So, pretty interesting. I think we all agree that it's powerful. I'm interested to see what direction you took it, because when I look at the card, there's a lot of options, right? Well, do I lean into the token part? Do I lean into the +1/+1 part?
Right.
There's a vampire tribal aspect. And then you always get into these situations where how do you balance all of those things, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing is you just have to have a lot of vampires in your deck. This card just doesn't function if you don't have enough vampires. Like, the Eminence thing only matters when you're casting vampire spells.
Right, it's not even when they enter the battlefield, right?
You have to cast them. Whenever Edgar he attacks, he puts a +1/+1 counter on each vampire you control, so you need to have vampires out. So, like, in general, it seems like it makes sense to just have a lot of vampires. And luckily, though, a lot of the vampire cards are really good, and there's a lot of vampire lords that go with this guy. And
vampires have been around forever, too, right?
Yeah, you're pulling from at least a number of different sets, so it's not just like your pool is small, right? You have a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And like a number of them do come with the deck.
Yeah.
So that's good. Well, okay, before we get into the specifics of the cards, we always like to go through our Stats. That's our stats. There's no graphic. That's our stats segment.
We just pretend like
what you saw is all of it.
Yeah, it's like ESPN status.
Yeah. Someday we'll hire Jeffrey Palmer to do like a cool stats graphic, or will that just take away the charm? Does it have any charm?
I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
If it's long enough, it builds charm.
Yeah, exactly. We built charm. It needs to just be really janky.
We built charm. Okay. So we always like to start with our two pillars of all commander decks, mana ramp and card draw. Mm-hmm. For mana ramp, there's about six in your build.
Yeah.
For card draw, there's about four, which is feels a little low.
It's low for sure. So one, this deck list is not refined. Most of my stuff, I take a long time to make sure
you
that
play it, you tweak it, feel it out.
Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I think the mana ramp in particular is low for this build in particular. Vampires tend to have really wonky casting costs, actually, is one of the things I noticed. So, like, cards like Chromatic Lantern are much better than, say, like, Sol Ring, which is normally just an amazing card, but, like, you have the cards like Vampire Nocturnus, who has three black symbols in his casting cost, really hard to cast. So in general, you want signets. Signets are amazing.
I do those automatically.
So that's super important for this deck, and probably six is on the low side. And then in terms of card draw, so I kind of took this deck in a kind of unique way, I think, because one, you're in the Mardu colors, and Mardu just generally, like, card advantage is not their thing.
Yeah.
You really want blue or green to be able to draw cards. But for this one, because it's Vampire Tribal, I thought it would be kind of thematic to have card advantage be built through making everyone discard cards.
Yeah, right. I noticed that about your build too. And the next category we have, and I put it right after card draw because it is card advantage, right? So
yes.
You have discard effects, and there's about six. And mm-hmm. I put in parentheses, these can generate card advantage. So if you add up the card draw and discard effects, you've got about 10, which is what we like to have for card draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think card draw is probably a little low.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because you're going to have trouble hitting land drops and stuff. But at the same time, your card advantage is probably fine in a deck built like this because you can sort of even out the card advantage that the other players are getting by making them discard.
Right.
And because vampires often have sort of a madness sub-theme just built in,
right.
That's a lot of your card advantage can come that way. So I like that. I liked having a sub-theme of that in the deck. Single target removal, you have about five.
Yep.
Which is about normal, I'd say, from what we see from good decks. Board wipes, there's about three. It's a little low, but again, you're a token-based deck. And of all the types of decks, token decks tend to have the least amount of board wipes, right? Because it's just not that often you're actually going to want to be wiping the board.
Yeah, you want to force other people to wipe your
board.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then we always like to look at, obviously vampires is the theme of the deck. So how many total vampires do you have? There's about 28. And we usually see that if there's a thing that a deck cares about, there's usually about 30 of that thing. So mm-hmm. that's right on target.
Right.
I found it interesting. You have about 16 cards that sort of either put +1/+1 counters on stuff or care about +1/+1 counters. That's quite a bit. So
that's a lot.
You leaned heavily into that part of the thing.
I did.
Yeah. And then there's about six token generators, mm-hmm. which, and again, Edgar, you just always have a token generator that's just always online. There's nothing your opponents can even ever do about it,
right?
Because of Eminence. So it seems correct to me that you don't have to have a ton of that in the deck. You always have one.
Yep. Right.
So those are the stats. Let's go right into the key cards, and we can talk about sort of where you took the deck and where you see it going.
Right. So right off the bat, Anointed Procession seems really obvious to me.
Oh my God.
That card is really good.
Remember how Doubling Season exists only for green? Anointed Procession is a weaker version, but for white.
It's yep. Parallel Lives.
Parallel Lives, yeah. So it's three in the white. If an effect would create one or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many tokens instead. And it's a white card. What?
Yeah, so
Thank you, mummies.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect for this deck. It means that your Eminence ability from Markov is doubled.
Yeah.
You get two vampires for every vampire thing you cast. That seems really good to me.
Seems really good.
It seems incredible, actually.
I'm a little more excited about the second card on this list here. It's the...
Oh, yeah. Our good boys, Abzan.
Our limited all-stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abzan Falconer and Abzan Battle Priest.
Yeah.
Both
I also
these...
added the... The Death Touchy guy.
I forget which one that one is.
If you remember, there was the Outlast Lords in Khans of Tarkir. So these were the cards that sort of gave abilities to creatures if those creatures had +1/+1 counters. So the Falconer and the Battle Priest are
and the
Murloc flying
Nightblade. Yeah,
are the flying
it's
and
lifelink,
the lifelink,
flying and Death Touch.
Yes.
Oof.
Those are really annoying abilities for people to deal with.
Now, these creatures aren't vampires, though.
They're not vampires, right. But it seems so obvious. Because let's say you have one of these guys on board, and you have no plus one, plus one counters. Let's say you haven't done anything. But you get to six mana, you cast Edgar, and you attack, and suddenly your entire vampire board now has whatever...
Flying and lifelink.
Flying, right. Lifelink, death touch. You're like,
Even just
combat
flying.
Just becomes impossible. Yeah, just flying. Evasion, always good. It's always surprising to me, like... how many times people just don't actually have answers to flyers. So it's flying is awesome. The lifelink, I think, is probably the weakest of the three. Mm-hmm. I think getting people to be to fear the death touch, you know, no one wants to spend a guy to block a death touch token that gets bigger, you know, as this guy attacks. Right. No one wants to do it. So you put your opponents in a really tough spot that way. And then lifelink was just kind of thrown in there because, I don't know, vampires and lifelink seem to...
very flavorful.
Yeah, that's so flavorful. I think the lifelink is actually surprisingly good. I think life gain is actually real. Like, incidental life gain is actually surprisingly good in EDH.
And especially for Mardu, I think life gain tends to be more important because generally you're trying to attack and try to...
A lot of things black does hurt itself. Like, you get an advantage, but you have to hurt yourself, and it's nice to be able to recoup some of that loss. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I thought, you know, the lifelink, even though I don't think individually he's the most powerful card, I think he does just help out the deck overall.
Let's talk about the next category here. So we have three cards written down, but they all sort of fall into a similar space.
Yeah. These are the mean boy cards.
I'm so happy that this third one's on there.
Let's talk about all three, and Terry can show all three, but they're all sort of in there. Well, one of them has more utility. So there's Necrogen Mist.
Yes.
Liliana of the Veil.
Yep.
And Sadistic Hypnotist.
My boy!
Now, I said you had six discard effects, so there's obviously a couple more. These stood out to me as sort of particularly good ones. Negrogen Mist is a card we haven't talked about a lot on the show.
Ever, I don't think.
Yeah.
This card is really interesting.
It's really mean.
It's not that bad.
It puts a lot of stress into people in terms of, like, oh my god, I need to be able to cast things before they disappear from my hand.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's two in the black for an enchantment at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player discards a card from his or her hand. I feel like if you just get this down on turn three, people will, I mean, like, you could be getting rid of, I don't know, close to 30 cards by the end of the game, right?
Yeah, I guess so. If the game goes like 8 or 9 turns, that's probably
well, including yourself, you would be up to like
probably,
40 cards.
Yeah, four per round, you could easily get 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be more, obviously.
I think it's just generally a very powerful card. I just think that most people, you know, when they pick up their seven cards, they don't want to lose them. And suddenly Necrogen Mist puts a counter on, like, if I'm not playing things, they're going to disappear. So one of the reasons why I like discard effects so much, particularly in Mardu colors, is that you have no way to deal with counterspells or when people are holding things up for you. Like, Mardu in general, it doesn't feel like you have super good tricks in hand. Like, some of the cards I do like having because you have white are, like, big board flicker effects. But you don't want to do that when you're a token deck. So the other way you can get around this is just by starting to attack people's hands. And I thought it's pretty good for this deck. And I think, in general, it works with the vampire theme pretty well as well.
Yeah, because a lot of times you're going to, like, I'm going to discard this card. Oh, it has madness. So now I just cast it for cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't actually lose a card, and you all do. Liliana of the Veil, obviously an expensive card.
Expensive.
But very good, and it has some added utility.
Well, I love the added utility. Having an edict effect is always good.
Yep.
Especially considering you have a billion, hopefully, tokens at this point.
Yep.
But each player discarding a card for 3 mana plus 1 ability, I mean, that's powerful, I think.
Yeah.
If that's what you're trying to go
for. Yeah, Liliana's plus ability, each player discards a card, then her negative is each player sacrifices a creature.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the ultimate.
Yeah, ultimate's never going to happen.
I've never
probably
seen it.
But
yeah.
Yeah, and also the kind of the problem with these early planeswalkers that come down early is that, you know, a lot of people will just attack into them and kill them, but you know, you've got this thing
vampires.
Called Eminence and you'll just spit out tokens. So turns out you just build a wall in front of her and she just starts attacking people's hands. And then
speaking of tokens,
Sadistic Hypnotist.
This card has hosed me so many times. And people are like, how many cards are in your hand? Oh, man.
Oh,
and they're
like,
you have zero cards now.
Sadistic Hypnotist. Sadistic is aptly
named.
Titled, yeah.
Maybe even a little too light.
Yeah, he's disgusting, man. You in a token deck, you can just sometimes force everyone to discard the cards in their hand.
Yeah, you can only do it at sorcery speed, but you know, he's a 5-mana 2/2. You sack a creature, target player discards 2 cards. Oh
yeah, per creature that you, it's very, very good.
Flashbacks, yeah, it's bad.
It's very, very good, and since you're a token deck and you want people to discard, this is great.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can specifically target the problematic, like the blue deck or whatever. If you ever land the sadistic against the blue deck, you're just like, eh, I'll just sack these two guys. You discard the rest of your hand. Now I know I can do whatever I want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good. This next card is a card I think everyone should pick up here.
Might be a little too late by the time they see
it. Yeah, and it's seen some standard play, but yeah, geez.
It is.
It's
going to
go in all of these decks that are heavily tribal themed, which, you know, there's, if you take some of the non-headlining commanders, some of them aren't necessarily tribal decks, but we're going to see a lot of tribal decks being built in the next month and a half, 2 months. And this card's going to go in basically all of them. It's Metallic Mimic.
Yeah.
So this is a card recently. What is it, Kaladesh?
Kaladesh, yes. Yeah. 2 mana for a 2/1 artifact creature shapeshifter. When it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. So this is why it works well with tribal. You're obviously going to be choosing vampires. And it's so Metallic Mimic becomes the chosen type in addition to its other types. Now, does that actually count as casting? No, it doesn't.
No, it does not.
Because it comes in as a shapeshifter.
Yep, right. Yep, yep.
And then each other creature you control of the chosen type enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. So, whoa, hey, that seems to work very well with this deck.
Yeah, those Abzan guys. Yeah. They're going to do a lot of work here. And here's the thing, too, is that Wizards has, in recent sets, pushed +1/+1 counters a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of sets where that's just a like a core theme for some of the colors. And so that card's just always going to be good because eventually, you know, they're going to make more cards that
deal they're already at the point counters. That there's so many. And every time, and it seems like, yeah, like you said, there's just, they're just keep going to keep doing it. It's like kind of become the alternate green-white theme. It's either tokens or it's counters.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think tokens are a lot more easily abused and scary to make in standard than counters are for whatever reason. For me, I'm like having an extra creature and a permanent on the battlefield seems way more ridiculous than just more +1/+1 counters. So I bet we're going to see that trend continue.
I mean, Metallic Mimic being a 2-drop is one of the reasons it's so good.
Yeah.
It just comes out at a spot on the curve where you're not going to have a ton of really impactful cards, but it creates future advantage so easily. You're not going to do anything different than you would. You just now get extra stuff for it.
Yeah. And because he comes out so early, let's say you have a vampire in turn 3, well, that vampire also just becomes bigger, and then it comes with a token because of Eminence, and then that one gets bigger. It's,
yeah, so if you, let's say you cast Metallic Mimic on 2, and then on 3, you cast like a 3/3 vampire, vanilla.
Yeah.
You're actually putting 5 power on the board for 3 mana.
Six power, four and a 2/2.
So
it's nasty.
Yikes.
Yeah, actually, I keep forgetting about Eminence, and that sort of happened too in game nights. I kept forgetting, like, oh, like, why did I even cast my commander? I don't want this card to be on the battlefield. I'd rather just keep the Eminence ability going on.
Right.
Because that's a good thing about Edgar too. It's waits in the wings, and then flies down and pumps everybody. You know, the haste makes it so good.
Yeah.
It's because he's been waiting in the wings. It's like he came off suspend, you know?
He's like, I don't know. I was going to do some sort of vampire move. But then I just I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing, too. It's like, uh-oh. Simmer down now.
That's my cape. Let's talk about some cards that are already in the pre-con that we might want to keep in the deck that you might want to use here. So
one of the cards I'm excited for, just in general, for these tribal decks is Path of Ancestry. So it's a land.
This card is right up my alley.
It enters in into the battlefield tapped.
I hate it.
Yeah, no, that part kind of sucks. But you, when you tap it, it adds a mana, add to your mana pool 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity. When that mana is spent to cast a creature spell that shares a creature type with your commander, you get to scry one.
Wow, talk about card advantage in the red, white, in the Mardu deck, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily card advantage, but, you know, card selection is really good.
Well, I mean, Scry 1 kind of adds up. I think,
Scry 3 is a card. Yeah. It's like Scry 2 to 3 is a card.
I think if you do that every turn, then every other turn you basically get a card.
Yeah.
Maybe every two and a half turns.
It fixes your mana.
It fixes your mana. That's the huge
I think
part.
This card is just always good if you're 3 colors over or above. It's a land that comes into play tapped that taps for 3 colors. That's a tri land.
Yeah. Yep.
You're right. It's a tri-land that's in your colors. You can only run tri-land in a 3.
In that way.
It's a command tower that comes into play tapped. And then every once in a while, even if you're not in a tribal deck, you get to scry one, at the very least when you play your commander. And, you know, in a deck like this, it's got 28 vampires, you're actually probably scrying one on, like, most of your turns.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I like that card a lot.
I would argue that it's even fine in a 2-color deck just because having the additional
If you have enough tribal.
If you have enough tribal, yeah.
I mean, you don't need a ton. I don't think you need a pure tribal deck for that to be good. Now, obviously, it's awesome in a pure tribal deck. This is an interesting one. It's one of the new cards. And this is a cycle we've seen. This one is the white one. It's called Kindred Boon. It's 2 white-white for an enchantment. It says, as Kindred Boon enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. And then you can pay 1 and a white and put a divinity counter on target creature you control that's of the chosen type. And then each creature you control with a divinity counter on it has indestructible.
Right.
Jeez Louise.
Well, when I first saw this card, I immediately thought, oh, I got to make Myogen tribal.
Yeah, the Myogens of the cleansing, all the things.
I don't even know what their creature type is, but...
I think they're spirits. Yeah, they're spirits.
They're spirits?
That's a pretty good tribe.
That's pretty good tribe. Yeah, wait, okay. I'm on board with this.
That might actually be real. Yeah.
But anyways, this card's actually kind of wonky. One, because you want to have a lot of white mana, which might be difficult in a three-color deck like this. But the really cool thing about it is that putting a divinity counter on something is at instant speed. So as long as you have white mana that you have available, now your opponents are less incentivized to try to go after you, because at any point you can just be like, well, now they are indestructible. Good luck.
Also, if you have to swing with a bunch of stuff, or maybe they can block Edgar and kill it, you could protect Edgar in that combat, get everything else through. Yes. Yeah. Also, just board wipes, you might be able to save a couple key pieces.
Right,
One of the problems with token decks in general is that you build, they just wipe it all away, and then it's hard to recover. At least here, you might be able to save a few things. Or over the course of a few turns, you get if you start getting going, you might get to the point where it's like, they got
everything.
Yeah.
It only costs one in the white, too. There's no stopping you from just end of turn, like, I'm going to make five of my creatures indestructible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next turn, I'm going to make two more, three more. You know, like, two mana is not the steep cost to do this. I mean, the Myogens, for example, these are all creatures from Kamigawa, right? Or Betrayers? Or is it just Kamigawa?
I think it's
Champions.
That's still Kamigawa.
Yeah, it's Kamigawa. But the, you know, there's like they come the into plane. The play with a Divinity Counter if you cast it from your hand, and they're all like 10, 8 drops, 9 drops. So it's really interesting because if you did make that tribal deck, like this card is really good then deck. But also just says, look, Divinity Counters cost a lot in general in Magic's history. So this is the cheapest it's ever been by 2 mana.
Are there some cards where that don't start with a Divinity Counter where if they have one, they do stuff?
Yes, that which was taken as an artifact that costs 5, and for 4 you can tap it to put a Divinity Counter on the permanent other than that which was taken, and then all those permanents have indestructible. So this is just strictly better
for
tribal.
That can't put a Divinity Counter on itself, but you could... Oh, no.
It's just creatures.
Creatures.
You could have both, and then that which taken makes this
you gotta turn it into a creature, give it the creature type. Oh, that's a lot of work. We're not doing that.
We're getting a little deep.
You're like, I do this, and the whole thing to just give that one thing indestructible.
Reaching really far into the cauldron here to try to make this work.
We'll file that under not worth it.
Yeah. But either way, I still think that's quite good. You want to protect your lords, in particular in tribal decks, and this is one good way to get your lords to be nice and, you know, noble.
Lordly. Yeah, very noble.
How about this one?
Okay, so next card, New Blood. For 2 black and black, it's a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast New Blood, you tap an untapped vampire you control.
Easy.
You gain control of target creature. Change the text of that creature by replacing all instances of one creature type with vampire.
What?
You turn so they
embrace just turn
it.
Into vampires.
When's the last time black could steal a creature?
I love the.
There is another vampire steal a creature card.
It's called
Captivating
Olivia
Vampire.
Captivating
Vampire. Well, and also Olivia.
Olivia.
Olivia, by the way, is on the flavor text, and she says, "Now isn't that better?"
So it's a control magic, except it doesn't sit there on the creature, so they can't disenchant it. Or
that's a really powerful.
And then it comes as a vampire, so you know it affects any of your
it gets a +1/+1 counter.
Yep.
Edgar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any
cool.
any
it
sort
can
of the
be
lords.
Boon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think this card's actually. I don't think it's like this is Cyclonic Rift levels of power, but it is still a very powerful card.
Especially in these colors.
Yeah, especially in these colors, you can deal with anything that you are dealing with. Oh, they have a Blightsteel Colossus. Well, now it can be your Blightsteel Colossus, and it's now a vampire.
That's true. And a lot of the problematic like generals and things, if you've run into a Purphoros and something, although they never make it devoted.
Yeah,
that's a problem. Well, anyway, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, so in any case, I think control magic effects are still just very powerful in general.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. Which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, You can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.